I am the director. This is Dr. Herbert Alvarez, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I am the director. What am I directing? I am the director of my life. Beginning, end, done. I am the director of my life. Now, I came perfect, I leave perfect, and I might as well live perfect. How can I be the director of my life? How can I be the person who is in charge of my life? How can I determine what my life is and what I'm going to do and what things are going to happen to me and what sort of a life I'm going to live? How can I determine that? Well, I determine that by one little thing that I say to myself about my life. Is my life human or is it divine? Now, if my life is human, it's full of a lot of wonderful adventures that are constantly calling me to the fore to say, what's my opinion about this and what's my opinion about that and what's going on? And I'm being asked about the life of adventures. And I feel as though I'm not in charge. I feel as though I'm not in control of what's going on in my life. I feel it's not a very happy situation. Now, if I were to say I am divine, which is my reality, if I were to say I am divine, what sort of a life would I expect me to live? What sort of a life would I expect me to experience? What sort of beings would I create in my world? What sort of circumstances would I create in my world? What sort of a world would I create in the first place if I'm divine? Now you say, well, I haven't met a divine person yet, and you never will. For a master only sees another master, a divine person only sees another divine person, and when you see a divine person, you don't even think of that person as divine, you just think of that person as your creation. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You think of that person as your creation. Now, I'm the director. Okay, do I want to direct a human life? Or do I want to direct a divine life? Well, you say we don't have much choice. We have a human experience here. We have a human life here. We're living this human life, and as we live this human life, we have to be subjects to the slings and arrows of misfortune that life brings to us. We have to handle all of the unbalanced conditions that are around us. We have to handle all of the circumstances that make us happy and unhappy. And, oh, I'm so happy! And, oh, I'm so unhappy! You see, a divine person is neither happy nor unhappy. A divine person lives in balance. A divine person is not thrilled because someone is pleased with them, nor is the divine person unhappy because the person is not pleased with them. The divine person is the creator, the director, of their life, of their experience. Now, a divine person chooses to live on planet Earth. That's what we all are, divine people choosing to live on planet Earth. Now, do we want to live on planet Earth as divine people or as human beings? And we use the term human beings to say limited. That we cannot do everything, that we are not everything, that we are not able to be totally in charge of our world. Well, that's because we're a poor director. We're a poor director of our world when we direct it in the human venue. Now, is that what you want to do? Is that the type of life you would like to have? A human life? Well, no, I'd like to have a divine life. Well, then, start directing your life as a divine life. Start thinking every thought you think as the absolute thought, as the fulfillment thought. Our biggest problem, and directors do not have this problem, our biggest problem is that we tend to look to the past. And because we look to the past, we do not see the now. We do not see the present moment. Or we occasionally glimpse at the present moment and we say, yeah, but compared to yesterday, compared to what I can do tomorrow, compared, and you see, all that comparison. In the divinity, in divine, there is no comparison. All is absolutely perfect right now. Oh, gee, that doesn't sound like that's much adventure. That doesn't sound like that's much activity. That doesn't sound like there's anything to direct. It's already done. It's already set in motion. It's already revealed. Yes, that's true. It's already revealed on the absolute, but on the relative, we bring into the play, the background, we bring into play causes and effects that we have had, karma like we call it. We bring into effect all these things in our life, and because we do, because we empower those past experiences, those past causes that we put in motion, those causes manipulate our present life. And our present life will always be manipulated by the causes of the past, by thinking about the past, by dwelling in the past, and we will not dwell in the present. Now, do you have the ability to dwell in the here and now? Let's just take a director, a man, a woman who is directing a movie or directing a show. Now, they're directing that show right now. And the director says, okay now, pathos, we want your feeling of emotion, we want your feeling of joy, of bliss, we want your feeling of excitement, we want your feeling of sadness, we want your feeling of these things. And you have to go into your background and see how you can create those feelings that the director wants. Now the director says, this accident just took place, and it's a terrible thing, and it's hurt many people. And there are many little children involved, and that makes it even more terrible, and of course it is. And so, we have no trouble at all having tears in our eyes or having feelings in our heart. We have that pathos that is required for that particular scene. Now, for little children who have never had these experiences, it's difficult for them to play act something. So, we have to, so to speak, give them the actual experience so that they can feel harmonious with it, they can feel balanced with it, they can feel that they can do it. Now, we train them again and again and again to look to the past, to look to the other experiences, and pretty soon they're pretty good at it. We all are pretty good at it. But you have caused it to happen that way. You are the director. You're the director of every theater in your life, of every single thing that goes on. You're the director of your parents. You're the director of your brothers and sisters, your aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents. You're the director of all your relatives. You're the director of all your friends. You're the director of all your employers, all your teachers, all your people in your world. How they respond to you is how you respond to yourself. Do you have a motivation to learn? Then the teacher finds you a good student. If you have no motivation to learn, you may be the most genius person in the world, but the teacher will not know it because you're not learning the way the teacher is teaching. Now, anyone can be a genius. Anyone is a genius. And anyone expresses that genius to the degree that it pleases them. To the degree that they're the director of their life, and for some reason they want to pretend that they're not smart. They want to pretend that the subject does not interest them. They want to pretend that these things are not something that they want to do. And so they figure out ways of putting forth that sort of an attitude. And with that sort of an attitude, they are an absolute failure. They're like Einstein. And like many others, they're kicked out of school because they didn't fit. Their minds were on other subjects. Now we say, oh yes, now they're wonderful men. Now they are fantastic. We look back and say, look what they've accomplished when they didn't go to school or didn't do this. Well, you can't say you didn't go to school. You can't say you didn't do this. What a master does, a master takes each project that he creates in his life and he enjoys it to the ultimate. A master enjoys going to school. A master enjoys his family, his friends. A master may choose to spend more time on playing the violin than he does on any of the other things, and his excellence is assured. His ability is always there. Everyone has the ability to do anything they want to do. But because he gives it his attention, other people hear that and they respect his attention to his genius. And they see him expressing that in every wonderful way. Now, some parents have the ability to recognize when their children are not tuned in to school, when their children are not tuned in for this or that. And they realize that this not tuned in means that they are not motivated. There's something inside of them that is not interested in what they're doing. Now, how could we make things more interesting to students? We could say, let's teach children how to read by giving them exciting books to read, books that have things that they're interested in. If a child is interested in science, we'll give him simple books on science. Simple books that will give him foundation principles upon which to do his work in science. Give him simple programs, simple things that he can do, like when Jane and Tarzan were learning how to work together, and Jane was teaching Tarzan, and she was showing him a book. And in the book it says, "I am Jane. Jane can run. Tarzan likes Jane." And simple statements, simple things, beautiful, beautiful. Now Tarzan, he not only said those things, but he pointed to himself as he said it. And he pointed to Jane as he said it. And he pointed to running and doing the things that he was learning in the book. And in no time at all, he became quite adept at the language. Now that's the story. Now is that story true? Oh yes. This happens all the time. Students, children who are encouraged to be interested in something, or that they tell you what their interest is, and you care, then you teach them on the level of their enthusiasm. And as you do this, all the other things will fall into place. But if you say, no, they've got to learn it at someone else's way, someone else's motivational pitch, then you're causing them to delay their genius from expressing as wonderfully and soon as it could. As a good director, you're not really so concerned about directing other people's lives. You're directing your own life. I am directing my own life. I'm saying to myself, I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am ideal chauffeur as I drive the car, and I'm wide awake and I'm alert, and I'm driving down the road and within the speed limit. I'm doing all the things that I'm expected to do. I am the ideal chauffeur. I'm always the ideal driver. I'm driving so that anyone in the car will feel comfortable driving with me. I'm the driver, that the ultimate driver that anyone would like to have as their chauffeur. And I am my own chauffeur. Now, you see, as I say these things as I'm driving along, my eyes become more alert, my attention becomes more aware of the road, I become more aware that I am comfortably driving along, that everything is smooth, that the way is open before me, and I am directing my cinema of driving the car in its beautiful way. Nobody else crowds in on me, nobody else messes me up, as has happened in the past times, but I forget that, because I'm living now. I'm not saying, oh, that always happens, because then I bring it back to myself, and I put the cause in motion that had it in motion before, and back it comes in that unhappy situation. I am my own director. I direct my life by what I think about. Now, you say, how does this fit into the divine? How does this fit into the ultimate that we are? Well, as a divine being, I am perfect in every way, shape, and form. Now, as a human being, I have the privilege of expressing my divine self under all circumstances in my human life if I choose. So, am I going to use as an example the rest of the world for how I should live my life? Am I going to use as an example how other people think and act and do things for me as the master that I am? Well, if I do, I will take not only their blessings, but I'll take their limitations. I will take all of their limiting attitudes about themselves, about what they can do and can't do, and what they can think and can't think. We know that you can't walk on fire, and yet people are doing it. We know that lots of things cannot be done, and yet they're done. It's fantastic. It's utterly fantastic. We live in a most remarkable world. We live in a most remarkable circumstance, and it's a beautiful circumstance. I watched a man yesterday. He was an older man, and he was a former football coach and very successful in every way. And then he tried to play a little joke. He had a newspaper that was lying on the ground in front of him. He picked it up, and he gave a little illustration about the newspaper, and he said that some people's lives are like this. And he tore up the newspaper. He ripped it down into thirds and quarters and ripped the long strips and so on. And then he took the newspaper and bent it in half, all strips, and he tried to break that. He had a little difficulty because it was harder for his muscles than he thought. Now, actually, at some time there, he made a little switch, and we didn't even know it. And he switched the newspaper, which he was ripping up, with a newspaper that was in good condition. And he pulled out that newspaper that was in good condition, and it looked just like the newspaper he was ripping up. And as he pulled it out and put away the newspaper he had been ripping up, he unfolded the newspaper, and he let us see the newspaper be all together, not ripped up in the slightest little bit, and all of us were amazed for a moment. We were amazed for a moment because we thought, surely this man had done some legerdemain that was quite exquisite. And, to a degree, he did. But it was just legerdemain. It was just a magician's trick. And perhaps it was that he had palmed something and done it in that way. And that can be done. And that is quite a feat, too. But now, could he tear up that newspaper and then let it fall straight open again? Certainly he could. But he's got to believe that. But so long as he plays the game of being a magician, so long as he plays the game that this is a trick, then it'll be a trick. It'll be a sleight of hand. But it doesn't have to be sleight of hand, because anything we want to do, is walking on fire a sleight of hand? Not really. It is for real. But the people who walk on fire have been taught to think that they're walking on cool, wet moss. And because they think they're walking on cool, wet moss with their bare feet, the hot coals that they're actually walking on have no effect on them, because they have trained their mind for this time and for this moment to think that. Now, you and I can train our minds to think that we are the divine. We can train our mind to think that we are beautiful and that we're the creator of our world. We can train our mind to think that we create good things in our world. Everyone in our world is a reflection of what we believe about ourselves. Everyone in our world is a reflection of what we know to be true as the being that we are. We see everyone honest. We see everyone with integrity. We see everyone with sincerity. We see everyone that we can trust them. We know them. We love them. We experience everything good about them. And when we do this, then what we have done is we have stepped a little closer to the awareness of our divinity. We stepped a little closer to revealing our divinity under all circumstances. And as we truly do express our divinity under all circumstances, then we will find that we won't need legerdemain, we won't need a magician's trick, we won't need to be walking on coals that are hot and having to call them something else. We will call all the world good, and it will be good. Not because it's pretending that, but it is. Because our vision, we as the director, we see everything divine and good now. We live in a world of balanced beings because we are balanced, because the divine is balanced. We live in a world of health and abundance because we are health and abundance, because we are the allness, because we are the divine. And as we live in this awareness, as we are the director of our script, of our scene, of our life, we know we have to motivate the people in our world to live this perfect life. And so the more that we, as the director, live the perfect life, as we can demonstrate by every action of our body, every thought of our mind, and every word of our mouth, as we demonstrate this, then all of the people in our world will be, again, the reflection of our perfect demonstration. I'm ready for such a realization. I am the director of my life. I am the director of all the activities in my world. And my world performs in its beautiful, fantastic, glorious way everything that I am. And that's really all that matters. You are the director of your life too. Are you ready to take charge? Are you ready to be the master? Are you ready to claim today that whatever causes you put in motion for the past, whatever causes you put in motion for the future, are of absolutely no account? For now is the only acceptable time for anything to take place in your life and mine. And so it does too. Enjoy, my beloved friends. I am your director. You like that? I love you. I love you. I love you.